Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar. Others promise the moon, they deliver the sun. We're also brought to you by Rose's Cafe, a favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood of San Francisco for the past 20 years. We've come to the final Inside China Basin podcast for 2017, and our special guest in part two of our conversation, John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Sadly, this is our last podcast of the season, so we start to think ahead to 2018, and we've talked about the roster, you know, as it exists right now. But what about, you know, thinking ahead to a high draft pick? And as we do this podcast, we don't know yet if the Giants get the number one pick or not. It's going to be close, but there are some really interesting names that are out there, some guys to look at. And Seth Beer, this outfielder with Clemson, really kind of jumped out at me. I got so excited, I wrote down Beers. I wanted more than one. More than one, Seth Beer. Because I saw the highlight. I immediately was tweeting this out. I saw this highlight of this home run he hit with Clemson, where he hit a bomb to right that would have been in the San Francisco Bay in McCovey Cove. So, you know, I don't know where the Giants are going to draft, but it seems like that could be pretty exciting to get a guy like that out of Clemson. Seth Beer, what do you think?
Boy, I sure hope they draft Beer.
Nice.
Oh, wait, did I just say draft Beer?
There's going to be all kinds of stuff like that once he gets drafted.
I mean, Anchor's theme's going to line up. Sierra Nevada, let me sponsor this guy.
Oh,
let
yeah.
me give you, you know, represent us in the odds. You know, but he's the real deal, on a serious note. he's somebody, I mean, he's probably a first baseman. Again, we mentioned, you know, maybe somebody like Belt would move to left field if they find a power hitter who could play a corner down the road. He's a college kid, so he, you know, arrived presumably much quicker than a high school kid, and maybe that's the lean because they're desperate for hitters. And he's a hitter. He's a legitimate power guy, 6'2", 200-plus, and he hits the ball a long way. And that's kind of what they need as a left-hander. And he's not a real great athlete. In other words, he's not going to be a great outfielder if you put him in left. He's probably more equipped for first base. So he's not fast. He's not going to have much range, but he hits the ball. And Bochy was saying lately that, and he's saying it multiple times, hey, we've been talking behind the scenes about getting these guys, maybe not necessarily contact guys, but power guys. If they strike out, they strike out. I mean, they're kind of behind the curve on that. Every other team seems to be getting these guys. You look across the bay and all the power the A's have shown, they set a record for most home runs at the Coliseum in a single season, and they're a last place team. So the Giants kind of got to hop aboard the bandwagon here and get some guys who can hit the ball up and out. And maybe that's going to come through the draft, and a kid like that you're not going to see right away, but maybe you see him in a couple of years. Then again, I mean, we have just a little bit of time for them to finish with the worst record, and the Tigers have come on pretty strong. it was going to be the White Sox, Phillies, and Giants, but the Tigers have played so poorly that it seems like they're tanking it to get the rights to draft Beer.
Well, there's not only Beer, and you wonder, because in the past the Giants would be more of a team that would draft a pitcher, right?
There's 10 guys they could draft with, but it's better talking about Beer, right?
Absolutely. But, I mean, you know, there's Brady Singer, this right-hander from Florida.
Yeah.
If you wanted to get a pitcher. There's Kumar Rocker, who is at a high school in Georgia, a right-hander. And I didn't know this until I heard Keith Law from ESPN say this, that there hasn't been a right-handed high school pitcher drafted ever as the number one pick. How about that? That would make history.
That would make history. And, you know, the Giants, with their top picks, they've done it both ways. Posey was a college kid. Lincecum was a college kid. But Bumgarner, who was 10th overall, just like Lincecum was a high school kid. And then Kane, obviously, drafted lower down in the first round, of course, was high school. So it's, you know, they've gone both routes, but I think they're so desperate for hitting that you would imagine they'd want a hitter with that first pick. But like you said, the kid from Florida, the pitcher, Singer, who, you know, what A.J. Puck came out of Florida last year. He was the A's top pick. He was a high pick. You know, they produce good pitchers, and he might be the number one overall guy, Brady Singer. It's not as cool of a name as Seth Beer, but I don't think the Giants will make that the first priority.
Well, there's a couple guys out of Florida, actually, that are on the list of possible high draft picks. Another pitcher, Jackson Kowar. So Florida, they're just producing pitchers left and right. I mean, even the kid that the Giants traded for from the Red Sox, Anderson, he's another guy who was from Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's some high school kids. I think a shortstop from Corona, who's a Bryce Terang, who's probably going to be a top five pick. Like you said, Rocker. It seems Georgia is the place that produces a lot of high school players. There's a Joe Gray from Georgia, a high school kid, another pitcher, who's going to be among the top guys picked. So it'll be interesting because the Giants have never been in a situation where they've had the number one overall pick, and they know the value knowing what they got out of a Posey, and it's a matter of not blowing it. It's a matter of taking the right guy, which they don't even know is the right guy for another, 3 to 5 years at least.
We'll have more with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this. We all know that solar systems make financial sense and environmental sense. And when it comes to choosing the best installation crew in the business, Sun First Solar should be your first choice. Sun First Solar has provided solar excellence since 1984. They are SunPower Elite Commercial and Elite Residential installers with a reputation for technical excellence, innovative design, fair pricing, excellent customer service, and end-to-end quality and competence. Sun First Solar is a family business devoted to treating their employees, customers, the community, and the environment with respect, and they are devoted to renewable energy and sustainability throughout the Bay Area. There is no roof or project that is too complicated. Sun First has successfully installed solar on Spanish tile roofs, metal roofs, and very steep roofs. They also have extensive experience in solar ground mounts and solar pool heating. Competitive pricing, expert consultation, and the best warranty. Go local and get your SunPower solar system from Sun First Solar today. Call Sun First Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. Now, I'm not into predictions for the Major League Baseball postseason, but how about a forecast? And the forecast calls for really good baseball, and it's just going to be a lot of fun, especially when you look at the National League and the intrigue of the Dodgers being so great for so long and then terrible there for a few weeks, and the Washington Nationals and getting Bryce Harper back and, what that means, the Cubs trying to repeat. There's so many great storylines going into this postseason. You know, the Astros and the Twins back in there in the American League. So, you got some newcomers, the Diamondbacks, and what they might be able to do if they can get by the wild card game and play the Dodgers because they were so successful. I mean, I've just named off a few. There's just a lot of great storylines.
Yeah, I can't wait for that Twins-Rockies World Series.
Oh, I'm sure Fox wants that too, yeah.
we could get a repeat of Cleveland-Chicago. We could get Yankees Red Sox in an ALCS. We could get Dodgers Nationals. Dusty goes back to LA in a NLCS. there's a lot of great storylines coming in these next few days and weeks. And Giant fans are looking at the Dodgers. I mean, that slide they've had in the second half really gives me serious doubts about that team. I mean, do they have the relievers? Can these guys who haven't succeeded in the postseason because they've finished first every year finally put it together? Will Kershaw finally put it together and have a real strong postseason? And what's the rotation behind Kershaw? They picked up Darvish, obviously, and Hill and Wood. you know, they have, but the bullpen has really struggled. You know, Pedro Baez and Ross Stripling, which we've talked about, they just, you know, haven't cut it. You know, they could always put Ryu and Maeda in the bullpen and hope for the best there. But it's you know, who's going to pitch the sixth, seventh, eighth innings, you know, for Jansen to close up, and maybe he'll go earlier. Who knows? But it just seems like if they face, and that's even assuming they get by the Diamondbacks, who have beaten up on them recently and kind of dominated them in this three game sweep.
Yeah.
You know, J.D. Martinez kills lefties, and the Dodgers got a bunch of them. Robbie Ray has been tough on the Dodgers, and if he goes the opener of a best of five, he could pitch twice. So there's no guarantee the Dodgers are even going to, you know, play the in the LCS and possibly against Washington. But if it is against Washington and it is the Dodgers, I mean, Scherzer and Strasburg and Gio Gonzalez, that's a pretty tough top three. You know, can the Dodgers handle those guys? You know, we'll see. But it's going to be good stuff because it's not just about that, but it's about you know, an Astros team that remember about 5, 6, 7 years ago, Sports Illustrated wrote that they're going to win the World Series in 2017. Well, here we are, but
they're not always jinxing people.
They're going to have to get by the Indians and the Red Sox and Yankees, Twins, whoever they might be facing.
And it's going to be tough to get by the Indians. I mean, they had that 22-game winning streak. I don't know if you subscribe to the theory that you got to get hot at the right time at the end of the year, because I always think back to 2000 when the Yankees were terrible at the end of the regular season, and then they ended up winning the World Series. So I don't know if that matters, but the Indians do look like they're pretty loaded.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I would kind of like to see, you know, the whole Cleveland thing. They haven't won a championship, you know, in baseball anyway. You know, LeBron James kind of ended that story on the basketball court, but you know, based on what we saw last year and what we've seen this year, you know, they could argue that they have the best team in baseball, because you know, the winning streak and the fact they, you know, and they have tons of postseason experience. They were you know, an inning away from winning the World Series. And you know, the Cubs came, you know, a miracle game seven. Everybody watched game seven. So I think they would have to be the favorite to get there. I know Boston's had a good year, and the Yankees have come on to get the wild card, and you know, everyone's talking about Houston, and but I see the Indians getting to the World Series, and I see the Nationals getting to the World Series. I think those two teams have the most to get there, and I don't see you know, it's always possible that it's going to be Twins and Rockies, but you know, my pick is the Nationals and the Indians.
That's a good pick. I'm thinking about the Twins only because they're the first team ever to go from over 100 losses to the playoffs the next year. So maybe the Giants could join them if they do lose the 100. You know, you got to think positive.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think you have to go back to '85, and maybe more realistic, it took them 2 years to get to 87
right,
in the division championship. But I don't see Will Clark and Robbie Thompson coming up next year and kind of anchoring the team that is going to win a division title, and then 2 more years after that get to the World Series, as the Giants did in 87 and 89.
Come on, Chris Shaw is the next Will Clark,
Chris
and you
Shaw.
Know it.
Ryder Jones needs to come a long way to become the next Will.
We'll continue the conversation with John Shea in just a moment.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat before a night game or dinner after a day game, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food. food, Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's Artisan Bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available, so stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
Let's finish up by talking about what's going on here really nationally in all sports. We've got the NFL with, you know, players kneeling and coming together, unifying really against what happened there with President Trump and his comments. And, you know, it all started with Colin Kaepernick here in the Bay Area. He was trying to make a statement by kneeling for the anthem, first sitting, then kneeling. You've got the Warriors and, you know, they had the possible visit to the White House. Politics and sports mixing together. And now it's definitely bled into baseball. And you covered the story of Bruce Maxwell, the A's catcher, and his anthem protest. And you're not seeing anything from the Giants right now. And, you know, keep in mind, they only have one black active player, and that's Denard Span. And they have one coach, part-time coach, in Sean Dunstan. You know, that's really it. There's not a lot of, support maybe for that idea. Do you see the Giants maybe doing something at all with this? And what are your thoughts about, you know, politics really bleeding into sports? I think it's pretty difficult for a lot of us in the media because we're not used to talking about those kind of things. We're trying to focus just on sports, but it's definitely come to the forefront here.
I don't see the Giants doing anything. I don't see most baseball teams doing anything. Bruce Maxwell of the A's is pretty much on an island, and he's been taking a knee. And, you know, I really commend that guy. He's been available to talk. He's not hiding away from the media. He's not. He just says all the right things. And he was born on an army base in Germany. His father was in the military. He loves the country. He loves the flag. When he kneels, he puts his hand on his heart. He looks up at Old Glory. He is doing it as an African American, you know, to protest inequality of the races. He's doing it to protest Donald Trump's actions and words, which we've all seen and heard. He's doing it at great risk because he doesn't have a contract. He doesn't have numbers that would suggest he should get a big contract. He's not guaranteed anything next year. He's a catcher hitting in the 240s. He's got three home runs. He's part of the A's future. Don't get me wrong. He's a big part of this young group of players who have won at different levels in the minors. But he's taken a stand, putting his career at risk, putting a lot of things at risk. He's supported by teammates, some of whom don't agree with what he's doing, or maybe don't understand why he's doing it, but he spoke to the manager, he spoke to the general manager, he had a closed-door meeting with the teammates, he basically said everything that was on his mind before he started doing this, so there would be no surprise. And to a man, everyone I spoke with, even though they might not agree with him doing it, they support him doing it. And that's a big factor. You just don't see it in baseball. It's a different culture. You know, the old clubhouse saying, what you see here, what you hear here, let it stay here. In other words, don't pop off. Don't say anything against the team. It basically teaches you to conform. That's what baseball is. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of conformity. And, you don't see players expressing emotion or expressing feelings like you do in basketball and football on the field and off. So it's a different lifestyle. It's a different vibe. And that's why you haven't seen it in baseball. Also, the number and percentage of African Americans is very low, at its lowest in decades, in fact. And Bruce Maxwell is doing something, I think, that's very brave, he's a kid who's got a lot going for him. He's intelligent. He's determined to fight for what's right. And I've written quite a bit about him, and I've gotten a whole bunch of people saying it's silly what he's doing, it's wrong what he's doing, and I have a lot more people saying, you know, right on, he's doing the right thing, I support him.
Yeah, it's so polarizing right now, and, you know, I think about Colin Kaepernick and how brave he was to you know, be the one who really started all of this, and, you know, you do get that question, like, okay, well, why do athletes feel like they have to do this, and why does it have to be the anthem? Well, you know, they have a platform for one thing, and for another, as Eric Reed said, I read a comment from him saying, you know, if we went in the locker room or the clubhouse and talked about it, it's not going to do any good. You have to get out there and make a statement where people notice it, and then they start talking about it, and it's definitely worked because we're all talking about it. And again, I mean, I don't know that all of us in sports feel comfortable always talking about this because we're trying to, you know, just talk about sports. We're not political experts here. But I do think we're in an important time in our country, and some of these athletes, I agree with you. I commend them for their bravery because it's not easy to stand up for what you think is right, especially when you're risking a lot, like Maxwell, like you said.
Yeah, and Maxwell told me, he said, hey, a lot of haters, a lot of complainers have said, don't do it during the anthem. Do it on your own time. Well, like you said, if I did it on my own time, you know, in a room with nobody there, nobody would notice.
No.
People are noticing.
Yeah.
And you know, he's doing it, like I said, loves the country, loves the flag, loves everything about America, except obviously for what he's protesting. And you know, he's the right guy to do it. But if he didn't do it, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And as he says, the conversation needs to be had, and I'm doing this to inform people who might not otherwise understand what's going on out there. Because here's an African-American kid from Huntsville, Alabama, who said he's heard every racial slur in the book and has gotten threats since he started to kneel. And he's doing that despite all that. So courageous is what he is.
Absolutely. Well, John, it's been such a pleasure doing this podcast again with you. I really enjoy it, and I know our listeners do as well. Thank you very much as we close out 2017. Unfortunately, no postseason, but, you know, can't wait for the first game of 2018 in L.A. against the Dodgers. We'll see if they're the defending World Series champs at that point. It's definitely going to be a fun 2018, and it's definitely going to be an interesting offseason to kind of see how the Giants react to what happened this year.
Yeah, you're right. This is going to be the most intriguing offseason that I'll remember in years. Maybe for both sides of the Bay, the Giants and A's. The A's are kind of on the cusp of doing the right things, especially with their young players. The Giants don't have those young players like the A's do. Boy, if they had their two corner infielders like Matt Chapman and Matt Olson, and you stick them over in the Giants lineup, how good would that be?
It'd be pretty
Suddenly
good.
We don't have to do anything else. Maybe find some good defensive center fielder, but that's what they really lack is youth, athletes, and people who can stay in the lineup and produce on a regular basis. So that's what they'll be pursuing, and when I see you in spring training, we'll have all the answers, right?
We'll have all the answers, no doubt about that. John, have a great off season. Although I know you're still busy as anything during the so-called off season, but thank you very much again, and we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure, Joe. It was great. Thanks a lot.
That's San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea. I want to thank him for joining us all season long. I want to thank you for listening here on Inside China Basin throughout the 2017 season. Don't forget to join us every Tuesday. Our San Francisco 49ers Extra podcast gets updated every week with former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. And Ray Woodson will be joining us for our brand new Dubs OT Warriors podcast beginning on October the 17th. And that will be every week as well. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you again in 2018 with Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.